From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Sign and Seal of Justification, part of his series of studies in the Epistle to the Romans. In chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, the Apostle Paul demonstrates from the Old Testament Scriptures that Abraham had been justified by faith before he received circumcision. In other words, circumcision was a seal of what had already taken place. The Jews of Paul's day depended on their relation to Abraham as their entrance into heaven. Paul took care of that error by showing that Abraham was declared righteous or justified in God's sight while he was still a Gentile. So Abraham's circumcision was simply a seal or an endorsement of something that had already taken place, his faith in what Christ would accomplish on the cross. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this important message. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's text is found in Psalm 91 and verse 3, Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. God delivers his people from the snare of the fowler in two senses, from and out of. First, he delivers them from the snare, does not let them enter it. And secondly, if they should be caught therein, he delivers them out of it. The first promise is the most precious to some, the second is the best to others. He shall deliver thee from the snare. How? Trouble is often the means whereby God delivers us. God knows that our backsliding will soon end in our destruction, and He in mercy sends the rod. We say, Lord, why is this? Not knowing that our trouble has been the means of delivering us from far greater evil. Many have been thus saved from ruin by their sorrows and their crosses. These have frightened the birds from the net. At other times, God keeps His people from the snare of the fowler by giving them great spiritual strength, so that when they are tempted to do evil, they say, How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? But what a blessed thing it is that if the believer shall, in an evil hour, come into the net, yet God will bring him out of it. O backslider, be cast down, but do not despair. Wanderer though thou hast been, hear what thy Redeemer saith. Return, O backsliding children, I will have mercy upon you. But you say you cannot return, for you are a captive. Then listen to the promise. Surely he shall deliver thee out of the snare of the fowler. Thou shalt yet be brought out of all evil into which thou hast fallen. And though thou shalt never cease to repent of thy ways, yet he that hath loved thee will not cast thee away. He will receive thee, and give thee joy and gladness, that the bones which he has broken may rejoice. No bird of paradise shall die in the fowler's net.
My skill is great, my strength is weak, I cannot be fragile strength. But thou, O Christ, hast died for me, and thou wilt hear my prayers.
Thank you.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
in the language of Romans chapter 4, the spiritual significance of circumcision was that it was a seal of the righteousness of faith. It was a seal of justification by faith alone, without works. That was the significance spiritually of circumcision. Now, I understand from other parts of Scripture, as I've indicated, that other answers may be given, because there is a very rich spiritual significance in the sacramental signs of the Scriptures. And I'm happy to acknowledge that. It's just not within my purview, and certainly not within my time limitations, to explore the full biblical answer to the spiritual significance of circumcision tonight. But in terms of Romans 4, it is a seal. A seal. Remember what that seal is. It is a witness. It is a token. It is a guarantee. It renders certain and inviolably certain the righteousness of faith. That's its spiritual significance. Now, I have to be honest, the Jews didn't see that, but Paul did, and Paul was right. Now, watch this carefully. It was a seal to Abraham. Now, I want you to take Romans 4. In fact, you can take your whole Bible. And I want you to see this. Circumcision might have been a sign. It signified something to Ishmael, as it signified something to the fleshly line, or the children born after the flesh to Abraham, the natural descendants. But it was not a seal to Ishmael. And I will make the point, according to the wording of Romans chapter 4, circumcision could not be a seal to anybody who was yet unjustified. It is a seal of that which has already been given or imputed. You see, this inviolable authentication and guarantee, in Abraham's case, we are told, followed justifying faith. And the whole argument here is it cannot precede it. That's the basis of Paul's argument. It follows it. In other words, a seal, a sacramental seal, is retrospective. It is never prospective. Now, all the pedobaptists that I have read, who are generally good, strong, Orthodox Calvinists, I'm not talking about the baptismal regenerationist type. I'm talking about people who believe the gospel, they will say that it is a seal of the righteousness that is going to be imputed. But that's my whole argument. We are supposed to be Protestants. We are supposed to be Presbyterians. We are supposed to be Bible believers. We are supposed to build our doctrine from Scripture, not inject it into Scripture. And I say again, the only language of Scripture describing a sacramental seal makes the seal retrospective. It looks back to what God has already done. It never is said to look forward to what He's going to do. Now, to me, this is vitally important. One reason I'm not a pedobaptist is that in pedobaptism, despite all the arguments to the contrary, if I believe Paul, and if I believe that he means what he says, and says what he means, and the Holy Ghost does not give us right to invent something that's not in Romans chapter 4, I believe a sacrament is a sign and a seal. But I believe that it, in pedobaptism, can never be a seal to that child. Do you see what I'm saying? If I believe then in infant baptism, what I'm doing is I am excluding the major significance spiritually of the entire sacrament. I'm leaving it out entirely. I cannot put it in because the Bible doesn't allow me to put it in. That's one very good reason why I cannot be a pedo-baptist. Now let me immediately say that good men can disagree with me in this. They're wrong, but they may disagree with me in this. And they may argue, as I could give you a whole list of the greatest theologians in history, men whose name stands high in the estimation of Bible believers, one of the greatest commentators the world has ever seen. Top of the list would be John Calvin. Freely admit that. They may argue for the administration of the sign of the covenant to children. Just goes to show you that the greatest of men are blind to certain thoughts. But the one thing, and I would say this to every pedo-baptist, do not ever have the audacity to claim that that baptismal sign that you're administering to a child is also a seal. You have no scripture warrant to say that, and that's where I really take issue. Never go beyond the scripture here. Do not fool yourself or anybody else that becomes a seal, because a seal in Romans 4 is looking back to what has already been done, never forward to what is going to be done. And here's the importance of it. Here's the importance of it. And I suppose this is one reason for my vehemence in this matter. As I say, I'm a Presbyterian. And I believe wholeheartedly in the scheme of covenant theology. But I want to tell you this. I see things happening when I visit Presbyterian churches, not in this denomination, but I visit Presbyterian churches. And they don't any longer have saints and sinners sitting in the congregation. They have covenant children to whom the seal of the covenant has already been administered. And the tendency is that those children simply have to grow up into the faith that is already there. And the whole emphasis that they need to be born again, that they need to be justified by faith, that they need to be saved, is being lost. You have this as the curse that blighted what was once thought to be Christian Europe. I don't often refer to neo-Orthodox theologians, at least to refer to them positively. I don't refer to the dialectical philosophers and theologians usually in any positive light. But one thing that burned up some of these neo-Orthodox people, especially in the European context, was this very thing. By this whole notion that they're already justified in the covenant, we have actually become Romanists. Rome teaches that justification is given in baptism. The Reformed and the Lutherans, well, the Lutherans may go that far, but the Reformed don't actually go to put it usually in those words, but effectively it has become the same thing. And people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, looked at Europe and said, we have a whole continent being damned, given up, unsaved, unchristian. This is the cheap grace he was talking about. They're unchristian, but they're all baptized and they're all They've all got the seal of the covenant. I want to tell you something. If God gives it as a seal, it's certain. Now, follow me a little, because I'll talk about the Baptists in a wee minute. For if the pedos are bad, the credos are often worse. But follow me very carefully here. This seal, if God gives it, must come to pass. Do you realize in Presbyterianism, in fact, Dr. Barrett and Mr. Brehm were away listening to a debate on this recently. You realize in Presbyterianism, you have a bunch that now not only wants to baptize their children, but have them eat and drink at the Lord's table. Pedo communion. And you know why? Because at the bottom of it all, they have this essentially Jewish and Romish doctrine that their baptism was a seal, and in that seal there's the guarantee of justifying righteousness and grace. And I'm here to tell you that seal belongs only to a person who has already exercised faith. That's the message of Romans chapter 4. Of course, as I said, the Credo Baptists, of whom I'm one, they often give up the very substance of the sacrament. I don't have time to follow this through, but you'll notice in verse 11, Abraham received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncertain. He received it. That's not language you hear in most Baptist churches. It's not language you hear of most people who believe what I believe regarding baptism. To them, baptism is a service that they render to God. Simply an act of obedience. Among the people I grew up with in Northern Ireland, it used to be said crudely when they were asking people, have they yet been baptized? Some of them actually said, have you been done yet? That's practically blasphemous. Baptism is not, as circumcision was not, a service that we render to God essentially. It was only that in a very secondary fashion. It is a gift of God to be received. And how do you receive the gifts of God? You receive them by personal faith. This is where I say that many a Baptist and Credo Baptist such as I, many of us are guilty of evacuating what is full of spiritual meat and meaning. We bring it down to almost a non-event. The whole idea that this is a gift of God and baptism is not simply something that I do because it's the next step along the line. Oh, it is a step of obedience to God, but it is something that recognizes this is a gift from God to be received as I received Christ by faith. And in receiving it by faith, it is a divine guarantee. It is something that appeals, and it's one of the very few things in the New Testament revelation that actually appeals to the senses. Something, you may say physical, that has this deep spiritual significance and that bears witness forever to heaven, earth, and hell of the guarantee that God gives of the righteousness of Christ imputed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.